Turn to the 119th Psalm. I can't tell you exactly why, but in the 119th Psalm, this 8-verse stanza has always been my personal favorite. And it still is. I hope they're all that way to me when I read them. But beginning in verse 33 of Psalm 118. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that the things the psalmist prayed for, we might be enabled to pray for, and that you'd answer our prayer. Lord, make this the prayer of the heart of everybody listening, according to your will. Accept our thanksgiving. We're so thankful for the salvation that's in your Son. We're so thankful for the forgiveness of sins. We're so thankful for his perfect righteousness. Lord, we give thanks for who you are. Now bless us, speak to us from your word, for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now in this 8-verse stanza, the psalmist asks for 8 different things. And it's my prayer that this is going to be what you and I are asking for as we consider this. You ever wonder what you ought to pray for? Well, this is going to answer that question real clearly. He says in verse 33, teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Look in verse 34. Give me understanding. Oh, I want understanding, don't you? I want to understand what the Bible actually says. I want God the Holy Spirit to be my teacher. Give me this understanding. Look what he says in verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Cause me to. Do you understand that prayer? Cause me to. I know I won't do it unless you cause me to, so I'm asking you to cause me by invincible, irresistible grace. Cause me to go in the way of thy commandments. Look in verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Make my heart to be inclined that way. Incline my heart. What a prayer. Incline my heart. This is the cry of a believer to his heavenly Father. Incline my heart. Make it be inclined in this direction. Look at verse 37. turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Can you pray that prayer? I'll behold it. Deliver me from that. Turn my eyes away. And look at the way he's asking the Lord's grace to reign in him. Turn my eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me. Give me life in thy way. Quicken me. Quicken me. Verse 38, establish thy word. Cause it to be established. Cause it to be set unmovable. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, the reproach of my sin. Turn it away. Young's Littler translation says, remove it. Remove it. Make it not to be. His last request in the last part of verse 40, quicken me. Once again, quicken me. Give me life in thy righteousness. Make thy righteousness my very life, my very breath. Quicken me. Give me life in thy righteousness. Now, can you see why this psalm is so glorious, the things he's asking for and the way he asks it? Well, let's look at it. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Not just teach me thy statutes, teach me the way of thy statutes. I love that scripture where it says he taught the children of Israel his acts, his ways unto Moses. I want to know the way, don't you? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Now, you teach me that Christ is the way, the only way, the sufficient way, the way of righteousness, the way of peace, the way of holiness, the way of grace. Teach me that Christ is the way. And as you teach me, if the Lord's my teacher, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep it all the way to the end. I'm going to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, if he teaches me. It's not enough for me to be taught by a man, because what man teaches me, I can unlearn. But if he's my teacher, Lord, teach me. Don't leave me to myself and my own understanding. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, the way of Christ, the way of grace, and I shall keep it unto the end. I will persevere all the way to the end, continuing in the faith, grounded and settled, if you teach me. Verse 34. Give me understanding. And look at the next phrase, and I shall keep thy law. If you understand the gospel, you understand how you personally keep the law through Christ keeping it for you, and you're in him to where you actually kept it. Now that's understanding. Only the Lord can teach that. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with all my heart. Now, I think of this understanding that he's speaking of. I want understanding, don't you? And what came to my mind was Solomon. Do you remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, when we're given a story about the wisdom of Solomon? And there were two harlots that both had children living in the same home, newborns. And one night, one of the harlots rolled over on her baby and smothered it and killed it. And so she gets up and takes her dead infant and puts it in the place where that other woman was asleep. She put it by that woman and took her infant and said, this is mine. And so when the woman woke up the next morning, she has a dead infant by her. And she knows it's not hers. That's not mine. And the woman who stole her baby said, no, that's yours. This one's mine. So who's going to... Both of them are saying the infant is theirs. Who's going to be able to show whose it really was? Well, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the live baby and cut it in half. And we're going to give one half to the one woman, one half the other. That way we can find out, you know, it's going to be fine. And so who objected to doing that? One woman said, okay, that sounds good to me. Cut it in half. Who objected to doing that? The woman who loved the baby. You see, when I have understanding, I love the truth. It's the whole truth. And I will not let it be divided. Everything in God's word is of critical importance. There is nothing that's of secondary importance. You don't let the truth be divided when you love the truth. And that is understanding, when you love the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. May the Lord give us that understanding and that discernment to where we can discern the difference. And that's what he's asking. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. I understand through the gospel that I personally have kept the law. When Jesus Christ kept the law, I kept the law. You know, the only way you can not fear the law of God is if you kept it. I kept it. And we loved God's holy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now look what he says in verse 35. Make me. And that word is literally, cause me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. There's nothing more delightful. And I love that word, delightful. That's the way I delight. There's nothing more delightful than being enabled to believe the gospel. And that's what it means to go in the path of his commandments. It's to do what he says, believe his gospel. Love one another as he gave his commandments. And there's nothing more delightful than that. I love that scripture in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, that speaks of the joy and the peace of believing. To believe that you have kept God's holy law perfectly in the person of Christ, and it was you doing it in him because of this union. Oh, how delightful that is. How joyous it is. And notice, though he says, make me to go in that path. Lord, make me believe. I love that language. Cause me to believe. I know this. If you don't cause me to, I won't do it. That's why I'm asking this. Cause me by irresistible, invincible grace. I remember one time somebody said, I don't like that term irresistible grace. I thought, I do. I like a lot. This is what I want. I want him to cause me. Don't even give me a choice. Cause me to. Cause me to. Make me to go in the way of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 36, this speaks on such a grassroots, powerful level to me. He says, incline my heart. Now, the only way my heart is going to be looking in the right direction and going in the right direction is if he inclines it in that way. Lord, incline my heart. What are the inclinations of your heart? Well, you know that your natural heart, your inclinations are bad. You know that. You know your heart won't be inclined to the right way. So you're asking the Lord, incline my heart. Incline it. Make it to go. Make this to be its inclination. Holiness. Obedience. Love. The fruit of the Spirit. Incline my heart to be poor in spirit. Incline my heart to mourn over sin. Incline my heart to be meek before you. Incline my heart to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Give me this pure heart. Incline my heart to be a peacemaker. Incline my heart to be merciful. Incline my heart to rejoice in being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Incline my heart. What a prayer. May the Lord make this my prayer and your prayer, even right now. Incline my heart into thy testimonies. And look what it says next. And not to covetousness. These hearts are naturally inclined to covetousness. Desiring what you don't have. Do you know there's an element of covetousness in every commandment when you break it? There's something you're coveting. You know, most people don't think much about covetousness, but what was it Paul said when he learned sin? What did he? He said, "I'd not known covetousness except the law had said, 'Thou shalt not covet.'" All of a sudden, I found out that's all I did. Covetousness is, and you try. You know, the only time I'm not covetous, is when I don't have anything to covet. Christ is all. There's nothing to covet. Now, if there's something I don't have, I'm going to covet it. But if I have all, let your conversation be without covetousness, the writer to the Hebrews said, and be content, satisfied with such things as you have. What do you have? Perfect justification before God. Acceptance in the Beloved. The promise of Romans 8:28. Salvation by grace. In Christ. What is there to covet? Incline my heart unto thy testimony, to thy word, and not to covetousness. Now look at this next verse. Now I know you can relate with this. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. You know what that means? Turn away mine eyes from looking anywhere but Christ alone. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Now, what is vanity? Everything. Behold, all is vanity. That's what the wise man said. But you know, the first time the word is used is in with reference to taking the Lord's name in vain. The third commandment. God is so glorious, so other, that to even use his name in my mouth without proper reverence is a sin worthy of sending somebody to hell. That's how glorious he is. Turn away my eyes from beholding that which is contrary to that holy fear of God, that reverence for his person, where you're so aware of his glory that even speaking his name in some kind of flippant way, just it's like hitting you. You're turn away mine eyes from beholding my self-righteousness and my works, or looking at other people and all the things that are involved. Beholding vanity, the vanity of the world, being impressed with this world's goods and this world's way. Turn my eyes from that. I won't look to Christ alone except he causes me to look to Christ alone. And I'm asking him to do that for me even now. Lord, turn my eyes away from beholding vanity. I'll behold it. I'll be looking at vanity. I'm just as vain as the next. I remember one time Scott Richardson said, "I'm just as vain as the next fella." Well, I am too. So turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me, verse 37, quicken thou me. Give me life. Make me to live. That's strong language, isn't it? Quicken thou me. Now, if you feel like in and of yourself you're dead, this is what you're going to pray. And you know, it's only a living heart that prays this prayer. A dead heart never prays this prayer. It's not even interested in life. But a living heart prays, quicken me in thy way. I, the Lord said, am the way. Lord, quicken me in that. Make me to see where the way of Christ, the way of grace, the way of righteousness, the way of peace is my way that I'm living in. Quicken me in thy way. Verse 38. Establish, settle, make unmovable thy word unto thy servant. Now, what I thought about when I thought about this statement, thy establish, settle your word. Well, the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is His written Word. The Word of God is the gospel message. The Word from the Word that reveals the Word. Oh, the precious Word of God. Cause that to be established and settled and unmovable in me. And what I thought about was the Lord saying in John chapter 6, after those people said, these are hard sayings. They heard the message in Capernaum. These are harsh sayings. These sayings are unsympathetic toward humanity. We don't like hard sayings. These are harsh sayings. And the Lord tells them, the words that I speak unto you, these sayings that you find harsh, they're words of spirit and they're words of life. Do you find His word truly spiritual? Beyond the flesh. Words of spirit. He's the Father of spirits. Spiritual men love His spiritual words. Words of spirit and words of life. Now, the people He was preaching to left. 5,000 people. He fed them miraculously. They left. They don't like these harsh sayings. And the Lord looked at His disciples and He said, will you also go away? Watch those people leaving. I don't think there's anything more sobering than this. He didn't say, well, let me rephrase that. Y'all listen to this. No, He watched them leave. He didn't ask them to come back. Is He being harsh? No. But He watched these people leave the gospel. And He looked at the 12 and He said, will you also go away? Here's your opportunity. They're leaving. You can if you want. Will you also go away? And Peter's reply, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's His words established in the heart. Oh, this is my prayer. Lord, cause Your word to be established, settled, to take root in my heart. Establish Thy word into Thy servant who is devoted to Thy fear. Now you'll notice devoted is in italics, but it's certainly implied in that statement. Thy servant's devoted to Thy fear. Now what is the fear of God? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the end of wisdom. What's the whole duty of man? To fear God, the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, to fear God and keep His commandments, the commandments of the gospel. That's the whole duty of man. Now, the fear of God is not, I've sinned, He's going to punish me. I'm probably going to wreck my car, or I'm going to lose my money, or somebody's going to get sick. I'm going to get punished for this. You look at somebody else, something bad happens to them, you think, wonder what they did that the Lord caused that to come into their life. You know what? That's not the fear of God. That's self-righteousness. That's all that is. There's no true fear or reverence for God in that kind of attitude. The fear of God is believing Him to be so altogether holy and glorious that you're afraid to look anywhere but Christ alone. You simply want to be found in Him. And you're afraid to stand before Him in your own merits or your own righteousness or your own works in any way. Now, every believer is devoted to that fear. Oh, I want to be somebody who fears God. I've heard people talk about good God-fearing people. And just that phrase lets you know you don't know anything about what it really is. The fear of God that makes a man look nowhere but Christ alone as everything in salvation. Verse 39. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. Now let me tell you what I do fear. I fear being found anywhere but Christ. I fear the reproach of my sin, the reproach it brings on the name of the Lord, the reproach it brings to me. And when he says, turn away from my reproach, the word is literally remove. Remove my reproach. Remove my sin. Remove the reproach it brings. Cause it to not be. Remove it from me. And isn't that what we're praying when we pray for the forgiveness of sins? We're praying more than just that they might be forgiven, but they might be removed. That there will be no consequence to them whatsoever because Christ bore all the consequences of them. And I'm, remove, turn away my reproach, which I fear. And here's his ground for asking that, for thy judgments are good. Now, what is the Lord's judgment? The cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how God's justice is magnified in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That reproach which I fear, he bore. And he put it away. And he caused it not to be. And that's why I can make this cry, turn away my reproach, because of thy good judgments. The good judgments of the cross. Don't you love the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? I love the way Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. With regard to a verse of scripture like this, not one time have I ever longed the way I ought to long and desired the way I ought to desire. The Lord longed after the precepts of his Father completely. And that's the longing I'm trusting. I long to long more, don't you? I want to have more of a longing for him. I'm ashamed that I'd even say that. I mean, it's shameful that anybody would say, well, we ought to long more. Well, I know it is shameful. But I am trusting his longing. He longed perfectly. How he longed after his precepts. Behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Well, I have to, but I trust his longing a lot better than mine, don't you? And here's his final request in this 8-verse stanza. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make your righteousness to be my life. I'm not talking about just my motive, but my actual life. When the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's saying my life is the life before God. And the only way you're going to get to the Father is if my life is your life and you're quickened in the way of my righteousness. It's the gospel. You know, the gospel throws a whole lot of light on this psalm, doesn't it? Gospel throws a whole lot of light on everything. But this is my prayer. Lord, give me life in thy righteousness. Now, if you don't get anything else we've said, I want you to remember this. His righteousness is the only righteousness there is. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Okay.